this point. Translation for book by the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. First of all, Brahma created from his shadow the coverings of ignorance of all the conditioned souls. There are five in number called Tamisra, Andha Tamisra, Tamas, Moha, and Mahamoha. Please listen very carefully because we're going to ask you questions. We never know who we're going to call. The conditioned souls of living entities who come to the material world to enjoy sense gratification are covered in the beginning by five different conditions. The first condition is a covering of tamisra or anger. So, what's the first covering? Constitutionally, each and every living entity has minute independence. By the way, this is a purport in the beginning. Although it says the first condition is tamisra or anger, it's more or less like a circle. So in a circle, you can take any point and say that's the first point in the circle, and it works out. But here, Prabhupada is taking tamisra as the first point of anger. But we can generally in other, there are many other explanations of the same phenomena, which is explained in Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and all our literatures, and sometimes other points to take. But we'll hear about all the points and we'll try and fit them all together. If you don't get too angry with me. It is an excuse of that minute independence of the conditioned soul to think that he can also enjoy like the Supreme Lord, or to think, why I shall not be a free enjoyer like the Supreme Lord. This forgetfulness of his constitutional position is due to anger or envy. The living entity, being eternally a part and parcel servitor of the Supreme Lord, can never by constitution be an equal enjoyer with the Lord. When he forgets this, however, and tries to be one with him, his condition is called tamisra. Even in the field of spiritual realization, this tamisra mentality of the living entity is hard to overcome. In trying to get out of the entanglement of material life, there are many who want to be one with the Supreme. Even in their transcendental activities, this lower grade mentality of tamisra continues. Andha tamisra. What does andha mean? Have you heard that word before? Andha. Yeah, so we.
Oh my god, that's
well, we'll learn something in this class at least. Something we've probably heard a few times. Andha yatandera upagimanas. So it's om. Agyana. What is agyana? Timirasya. Yeah, no. Timira. Timira, what does timira mean?
Open.
Especially you shouldn't call out. Yeah, darkness. It's almost like clouds. Cloudy, darkness. There's varieties of darkness, but this is timira. It's like a little cloudy. Timiran andasya. Andasya.
Blind?
Yes, blind. So anda, blind, tamisra. So if you're in darkness, then tamisra is bad enough, but anda tamisra, the blind in the darkness. What does misra mean? Misra. Mixed. And ta? So here we have tamas, tama, tamisra, tama. So it's more or less mixed darkness. and under blind in the midst of darkness. Involves considering death to be the ultimate end. So this is very this is the last state of material consciousness. Andhamisra, or blindness. Due to the darkness, one becomes completely blind, and therefore one thinks that death is the ultimate end. That's complete blindness. Or Vayam dvitiya biniveshitasya abiniveshita. That's also in the 11th canto, 3rd chapter. I think it's the 5th verse. Vayam, fear, dvitiya biniveshitasya. So from complete darkness comes this conception that death is the ultimate end. And what is the result of that? Vayam, fear. The atheist generally thinks that the body is the self, that everything is therefore ended with the end of the body. Thus they want to enjoy material life as far as possible during the existence of the body. Their theory is, as long as you live, you should live prosperously. Never mind whether you commit all kinds of so-called sins. You must eat sumptuously, beg, borrow, and steal. And if you think that by stealing and borrowing, you are being entangled in sinful activities for which you have to pay, then just forget that misconception, because after death everything is finished. No one is responsible for anything he does during his life. This atheistic conception of life is killing human civilization, for it is without knowledge of the continuation of eternal life. This andhamisra ignorance is due to tamas, the condition of not knowing anything about the spirit soul is called tamas. This material world is generally called tamas because 90% of it, of its living entities, are ignorant of their identity as soul. Almost everyone is thinking that he is this body. He has no information of the spirit soul. Guided by this misconception, one always thinks, this is my body, and everything in relation to this with this body is mine. So what is that called? Another one. What's that?
She's saying ahamameti. That's what she's saying.
Yes. But what is the source of ahamameti? Ahankara. What is aham mean?
Me.
Yes. I. And kara? What's that? Do it. To do something. To do. I am the doer. This body and anything in relation with this body is mine. For such misguided living entities, sex life is the background of material existence. So what is that called in Sanskrit? Yes. It's also lust. Actually, the condition of souls and ignorance in this material world is simply guided by sex life. And as soon as they get an opportunity for sex life, they become attached to so-called home, motherland, children, wealth, and opulence. Pungsa, Sriya, Maituni, Bhavam, Etam, Tayor, Ridya, Granti, Mahu, Ato, Griya, Shetra, Sutapti, Vitar, Janasya, Moho, Yang, Ahangi, Meti. Prahlad Maharaj was quoting from this verse. That this attachments, and as it says here, as these attachments increase, moha, illusion of the bodily conception of life also increases. Thus, the idea that I am this body and everything belongs to this body is mine also increases, and as the whole world is put into moha, sectarian societies, families, and nationalities are created, and they fight with one another. Maha moha means to be mad after material enjoyment. Especially in this age of Kali, everyone is overwhelmed by the madness to accumulate paraphernalia of material enjoyment. These definitions are very nicely given in the Vishnu Purana, wherein it is said, Tamo viveko mohasya antakarna vibrahma maha mohastu vigeyo gramya boga sukhaishana marnam yanda tamisram Tamisram Prada Uchite Avidya Pancha Parvaisha Prabhur Pradura Bhuta Mahatmanaha Tasarja Chaya Vivyam Pancha Parvanaha Grataha Tamizram Panda Tamizram Tamo Moha Mahatamaha. First of all, Brahma created from his shadow the coverings of ignorance of the conditioned souls. They are five in number, and they are called Tamizra, Anda Tamizra, Tamas, Moha, and Mahamoha. Namo Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Pristaya Bhute, Srimati Bhakti Vidanta Swami Tanamane, Namaste Sarasatam Deve, Gauravani Vicharane, Nirvishesha Shingavadi Pasyatya Desatarne.
Mahamoha
last word
or Mahatama?
Mahatama. Or Mahamoha, same.
I was waiting for this explanation, but I didn't come.
No, it's the same. It says here it's the same word. So who can tell me some verses in Bhagavad Gita that say the same thing? There's a few verses in Bhagavad Gita that explain the same concept. You can say one verse in Bhagavad Gita. No? Something like that. Vyayato vishayam pumsam sangaste shupajayate sangat sanjayate kama kama krodo vijayate krodha bhavati samoha Samahat smriti vibramsat, smriti bramsat buddhinasho, buddhinashat pranashati. And how is it kind of respond? We have five categories here, plus tamizra, anda tamizra, tamas, moha, and maha moha. What is corresponding to contemplating the objects of the senses? Well, that's the soul. The person develops attachment from them. What's that attachment? Was explained here. You can see it's going to be very difficult. Well, let's see, anger. The first thing mentioned, the third thing mentioned, or fourth thing, is anger. So what corresponds to anger? Tamizra, yes. Tamizra. And from anger comes bewilderment, right? So what corresponds to bewilderment? What is that bewilderment? That's almost nailed here. Moha. Moha? Maybe someone can write this on the board so we can, otherwise we might get swamped by them. Can someone raise that and just write these things on the board? Everyone doesn't have to jump up at the same time. Who has a good handwriting? Who's our blackboard writer? You're the blackboard writer?
Yeah, that's yes.
Bhakta Matni is writing.
Okay. We're trying to figure this all out. We'll put it the simple categories that we're all familiar with, hopefully we're familiar with, is avidya, ignorance, asmita, false ego, raga, attachment, dvesha, aversion, and abhinivesita. You've heard that before. These are the five kleshas, according to Patanjali in his Yoga Sutras. It's the same philosophy. It's not that every time we, in the Bhagavad Gita, it's one philosophy, Srimad Bhagavatam, different philosophy. But it exercises our brain a little bit to try and figure out how it all fits together. So put down avidya, ignorance. Just put down ignorance, otherwise too much Sanskrit is. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gopinathi Jai. Ignorance, then false ego, attachment, aversion, And then we have, you can put abhinivesita, and in brackets you can put fear. Anyone ever feel afraid of anything?
Me all the time.
What's that?
No, I like that. Yeah.
Let's go quickly. Aversion and fear. So tamisra fits into anger. That's easy, right? And anda tamisra considers death to be the ultimate end. So which one is that? Anda tamisra?
Fear.
Fear, yes. This explanation of Bhagavatam started from
the fourth, and then we got to the fifth.
Now it goes, anatamisra, ignorance is due to tamas. The condition of not knowing anything about the spirit soul is called tamas. So which one is that? Ignorance, yes. And then there's something about all the different things about being bewildered. And then, as for such misguided living entities, sex life is the background of material existence, etc., etc. As these attachments increase, moha, the illusion of the bodily conception of life, also increases. So which one is that? Moha. As these attachments increase, moha, the illusion of the bodily conception of life, also increases.
False ego?
False ego.
And we got it.
And then we have, you left out the first one, tamisra, aversion.
Now we have one left. We probably could probably figure out where it fits in. Don't try and guess, though. Maha moha means to be mad after material enjoyment. Which one is that? Yeah, stop. Pretty good. We're catching up. Now we'll go through the verse in Bhagavad Gita again. Dhyayato vishayam pumsam.
So, underneath here,
put down. There is a where any of those fit in? Lust. Where is lust fit in? Harada. Yeah. So lust.
No. Right next to it. Attachment. Mahamoha. Lust. And anger.
Tamisra.
Aversion.
So, samoha, samoha, false ego, no, samoha, complete illusion, what's that? No, what is when you're completely illusion? So this is the advantage of going through this, trying to, because it helps us assimilate the concepts, what we're dealing with. Samaha. What is, if you have illusion and complete illusion?
It says false ego, maha.
Fear.
It's quite difficult to figure out.
No, fear. When you're completely illusion, then you're completely identified with the body. You think when the body is finished, everything is done. It more or less follows in a sequential order. It's just where you take the sequence from, that's all. So you get attachment, you get anger. And then you get completely absorbed in illusion, and that's called samoha.
Samoha.
Is it longer?
Yes. Sama, S-A-M, two M's. Sam, incomplete, moha.
And then from that illusion comes Samaha, Smriti Vibhramsat and Buddhinasha. So what is that under? Ignorance. Smriti is a product of intelligence. In the third canto, actually in this canto, it says that one of the functions of intelligence is memory.
So it's loss of memory. Memory is lost and intelligence is lost. Loss of intelligence, ignorance.
And intelligence is lost. So that's under false ego.
I don't dare to speak.
Something like that. You can put it under ignorance.
No, loss of memory. Loss of memory. Maybe it's loss of not intelligence, loss of memory. And you can put loss of intelligence under that also. Innate ignorance. No. It's in between. Right under ignorance. Loss of intelligence.
And then one falls into the material pool. That's false ego. Does it make sense to you? Does it seem logical? What's that? You don't see what? Well, here we'll explain. We'll read it from the Bhagavad Gita. Maybe this will explain it better. It doesn't have to fit in exactly like that, but it's. You can see the first one, the second one, how it relates. Panavija.
Yes.
The third one is harder, more difficult. So we'll read from the Bhagavad Gita, which explains the same thing in a slightly different way. Don't worry, as long as you don't do any of those things. It'll be all right. Whatever order it comes in. Indriyani mano buddhir asya dishtanam uchate ether vimohatyatyesha jnanam avrityadehinam. The senses, the mind, and the intelligence of the sitting places of this lust, through them lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and bewilders him. So Srila Prabhupada's purport, the enemy has captured different strategic positions in the body of the conditioned soul, and therefore Lord Krishna is giving hints of those places so that one who wants to conquer the enemy may know where he can be found. Mind is the center of all the activities of the senses, and thus when we hear about sense objects, the mind generally becomes a reservoir of all ideas of sense gratification. So what is that under? Contemplating the objects of the senses. And then, and as a result, the mind becomes, and senses become the repositories of lust. Next, the intelligence department becomes the capital of such lustful propensities. Intelligence is the immediate next-door neighbor of the spirit soul. Lust, the intelligence, influences the spirit soul to acquire the false ego and identify itself with matter, and thus with the mind and senses. The spirit soul becomes addicted to enjoying the material senses and mistakes this as true happiness. This false identification of the spirit soul is very nicely explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Yasyatma buddhi kunapetri taduke sudhi kulatradi shubhoma ijadi yathirta buddhe salena karishish ganesh vabhageshu sa eva gokara. A human being who identifies the body made of three elements with his self, who considers the byproduct of the body to be his kinsman, who considers the land of birth worshipable, and who goes to the place of pilgrimage simply to take a bath rather than meet men of transcendental knowledge there, is considered to be like an ass or a cow. So how does the process of ignorance start? Yes, and how do we, in modern society, for instance, how do we become implicated in contemplating the objects of the senses, as explained in this verse in Bhagavad Gita?
Because
Yeah. That's false ego. But we hear the glories of sense gratification. That we are souls. We may even have, just like we may sit here in class, but we may walk outside and see an advertisement and think, well, it's not so bad being a body. And then we forget immediately. Although we have some knowledge now that we're spirit souls, but seeing the glories of sense gratification, we start thinking, it wouldn't be so bad to be a body. Use this body for a little sense gratification once in a while. It's not so bad. So that's called ignorance. We hear the glories of ignorance. Sense gratification. And then, who acquires the false ego? The soul acquires, the soul voluntarily agrees to acquire a false ego, because without a false ego, it's very hard to enjoy sense gratification. If we think only the body is engaged with the senses and I'm aloof from them, it's not worth the endeavor. So therefore we pray, my dear Lord, as one priest said, please give me celibacy, but not just yet. What's that? Please give me celibacy, but not just yet. So we need a false ego. So hearing the glories of sense gratification, we pray or we desire a false ego. And then with our false ego, we get through the process of enjoying the senses until we become averse to them, the objects. That's called, so then we go from false ego to attachment. We get our family, whatever else we try to enjoy. And after a while, we get disgusted with it and we want to renounce. And then we become fearful. Although I'm giving everything up, eventually I have to give up my dear body by which I am going to enjoy everything. So we become fearful. So the end result is what? Of all our endeavors to be happy in the material world? Yes. Fear. Abhini Veshita. Vayad. Vayam dvitiya vineshitasya ishadavatasya viparyos smriti. And what does that fear do to? Viparyos smriti. And which is what? Ignorance. We've lost our memory that we're actually Krishna's servants. Memory is not to remember verses, you know, to remember where my keys are. Memory is to remember who I really am. But ignorance means to forget who I really am, and therefore to think that I'm someone other than who I really am. Therefore, even the impersonalists who find out who they're not, they don't necessarily find out who they really are. Therefore, they're still in ignorance. Is that right? Let me see. Yeah. Is this all followed logically, reasonably? Is it clear enough? Panavijaya? Yes?
Can people say that the intelligence acquires the false ego? So the false ego comes before everything else, and then the rest will
No, that's only in the creation of the elements. First thing that's created is false ego. But false ego means that there's some covering of the intelligence through the ignorance. You don't get material creation unless you want it. Yeah, there's some desire. So you have to have some desire to get a false ego. And that desire means that you must think that there must be something nice about being separated from Krishna, which is called ignorance.
That's where it starts.
Yeah, it starts with ignorance. Creation has to start with ignorance. And then in order to fulfill our ignorant desire, there has to be false ego.
And then you get the famous question, how does ignorance arise in the spiritual world?
It doesn't. Ignorance doesn't arise in the spiritual world. The desire to be separated from Krishna arises in the spiritual world. And then ignorance is given to us. Yeah, the ignorance is given to us that we forget that we're actually Krishna's servants. And then we start remembering. Then we're given a body where we start remembering. Then we start identifying with that body. And that's called a false ego. In other words, we can forget we're Krishna's servants and just think ourselves to be independent spirit souls. So that's also ignorance. But then we want something positive, we want to enjoy, so therefore we need a false ego, falsely identifying ourselves with matter. It's the difference between, just like when we become free from the bodily concept of life, that's not full realization. It just means that, just like for instance, if you were in a play and you were identifying yourself as being Napoleon, but you're not Napoleon. So then you forget, you take off your costume, but if you have amnesia, you won't remember who you are. You won't think you're Napoleon anymore, but you won't remember who you really are. So there's one thing, falsely identifying with who you're not, the other one is to find out who you really are. So due to ignorance, we forget who we really are, and due to more ignorance, we identify ourselves with something we're not. Yes?
But then if you find out who you really are, then you say, well, that's what I don't want. I want to be separate from Krishna. Like this man, Schopenhauer said, I'd rather be unhappy and be independent from God than be happy and be dependent on God. That's what he actually said.
Yeah. False ego.
That's false ego.
Yeah. He's praying, please God, give me a false ego. Mm-hmm. He wants that. Every living entity is praying for it. So if we read these, if we go through the Bhagavad Gita, we'll find out that this is the scheme that it all fits into. Everything is in the material conception of life fits into this. And we can expand it. There's just in varieties, just like under it. It's not that it's only limited to these five categories, but these are the five main categories. And the process of self-realization, karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, they're all meant to free us from these five categories. Ultimately bring us bhakti yoga, which is destroys all ignorance. And when ignorance is destroyed, these other things stop. Now we'll go over one more thing before we end. You can write down underneath there, we can all fit into the categories. Is this all clear for most people now? Is it clearer? You put down vidya, avidya, avidya again. We use the Sanskrit this time.
To me, it's clear when it happens.
It's
clear when it happens.
It's good to analyze it. That way we can stop it somewhere along the line before it gets down to fear. Avidya, vidya. Papam, aparabdha, and parabdha karma, kutam. You've seen this before? Yes. This is where the circle is. This is a circle. It's not like it goes ignorance, false ego, attachment, aversion, and fear, and stops there. No, it goes back to, as it says, one falls into the material whirlpool. It just keeps on going. It revolves deeper and deeper and deeper. Unless you, in the human form of life, you try and get out of it, then it stops bringing you down further and further. Because without knowledge, without real, just like this Prabhupada, I think he writes in this purport, maybe I was reading another one, that modern education, although they advertise themselves as educating people, but actually they're putting people into a lower and lower position. That even Prabhupada said that, was in this verse, that even a peasant in India, he knows more about reality than a so-called educated person in India. That by education one becomes, as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, less than an ass. So one is born as an animal, shudra, and by education one becomes less than an ass. So here we have avidya. So where does that fit into? This should be, since it's all sequential, it should be quite simple now. And vidya. What is the seed? What is this?
The inclination towards achieving.
Desire. What's that? Vidya is the seed. And what's the seed? What's the simple desire?
False ego.
False ego, yes. Seed is actually the false ego. The desire, that desire, we acquire the false ego because we want to enjoy matter. soul, just like I gave the example before many times, that a man is walking down the street and he sees a beautiful woman, which is not uncommon nowadays, and immediately becomes attracted and thinks, the senses, the mind say, wow, that looks great. Enjoy. And then the intelligence there and says, wait a second, that's not right. She has a little red dot on her forehead and she's married and this is against religious principles. And the senses mind say, oh, forget it, that's all old fashioned, no one believes that anymore. We've gotten higher conceptions of life now. The real conception of life is enjoy. And then the soul who's there has to make a decision that whether I'm going to follow my mind and senses or follow the intelligence, the dharmic intelligence. Now the soul says, yes, let's try it one more time. Give it the old college try one more time. And then the soul acquires the intelligence, lusts the intelligence, which is telling us to enjoy the lower self. The soul identifies itself with the lusty intelligence and therefore acquires a false ego by which it misidentifies itself with the mind and senses. So that's the desire to acquire the lusty intelligence is called bija. That lusty intelligence, bija, false ego. And then we have, what's the result? Attachment and aversion, which is on the papa. Yes.
My soul is desiring this false attachment, but somewhere other there is some intelligence which says it's not good for you.
Yeah. So you have to choose one or the other. So if we choose and we go Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare, we see. What's that?
You don't stop.
Hopefully not. During the service, the mind is supposed to be fixed on Krishna too. The very thing we were praying for, Krishna is giving us some service to do. And if we're doing it for Krishna, then we should naturally think of Krishna also during the service. And as soon as we stop, and the mind starts contemplating the objects of the senses, then we get into a false ego. I'm doing the service, I'm such a nice devotee, I'm so great, everyone, etc. I need so many things back. So we're under the control of the false ego. So we're doing our service, but it's not pure devotional service, it's Mishra Bhakti. And then Aparabdha and Parabdha Karma.
You left that Kuta. Kuta is the bottom.
Then what does Parabdha Karma mean? Yes, manifest. The current reaction. We're getting our results of our activities.
Manifest reaction.
Yes.
In terms of lust and anger and
fear.
And what's the result is an inclination for
further activities which lies dormant in the future arises.
So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 manifest reaction, attachment, aversion, manifest fear. The reaction is ultimately fear.
Perhaps it's manifest.
Yes. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
This
is unmanifest. No, that's unmanifest. Karaj is unmanifest. Karaj is manifest. That's manifest, that's unmanifest.
The inclination towards things, is that an attachment?
No, well that's further, yeah. It's further inclination.
I'm not really so sure how that all fits in. But it must, you have to put down fear. Kuta.
That's not logical follow. Absorption of material consciousness. which carries us to a next, to a further inclination. In other words, complete absorption, material consciousness, kuta, one has, and that produces in the future, due to ignorance, more material desires. And the process of ending this, of course, is to end avidya. Identify ourselves as Krishna's servant. Otherwise, if one tries to take it in the middle of the circle, because from kutam, from the sphere inclination, comes further sinful desires, which manifest itself as further material activities, which get reactions in terms of lust and anger, and there are concomitant factors like envy, madness, illusion, etc. And the cycle goes on. So those were jnanis, yogis, and karmis. Where does karma fit in here? Papa, yes. To stop the sinful activities. And where does jnana fit in? What's that? Yeah, I mean jnana, the regular jnana without knowledge of Krishna. False ego. The jnanis and the yogis, they aim at the false ego, trying to identify themselves as souls rather than as bodies. They try to end attachment and aversion, get out of fear. But their aim generally is false ego, or the karmis, they're working on the platform of attachment and aversion. And everyone's trying to end the fear. Material existence, going through the cycle of birth and death. But only the devotees, because they're aiming at avidya, understanding who they really are, they can actually end the cycle. Otherwise, it says, yat pada pankaja palasa vilasa bhaktya kama shayam brahitam ukratayan tishanta tavana rikta matyo yatyo piruda tavam shutoganas kamarunam bhaja vasudeva. That only the devotees, because they get free from avidya and find out who they are, therefore in Krishna's association, by contact with Krishna and Krishna consciousness, then the ignorance is cut to pieces. One realizes oneself, and automatically if there is, one realizes who one is, and one forgets who one isn't. If you wake up from a dream, then you no longer identify yourself with the dream, personality in the dream, because you woke up. But if you're in the dream and you kill all the tigers who are threatening you in the dream, whatever else you do, you're still within the dream. Even though you're free from all the problems of the dream, but you're still dreaming. Only when we wake up and you forget about all the problems in the dream. So Krishna consciousness, to wake up to our real identity in life and activities by performance of devotional service. And anyone else, if they're trying to solve the problems of material existence, they're doing it within the conception of the dream, or maybe they wake up, but they're half drowsy. The jnanis and the yogis, if they wake up to the fact that they're not in the dream anymore, but if they don't fully wake up, they're still more or less half dreaming. They haven't really woken up to who they really are. They're just in a half dream state. And the karmis, they may solve all their problems temporarily, seemingly, but because they're still dreaming, they can't really solve all their problems. So the person who's in the half-dream state, he can go back to sleep very soon if he doesn't wake up. And those who are still dreaming, trying to solve problems, so many other problems will come soon in their dream too. So the only solution is Krishna consciousness, which wakes us up completely. Jeev Jaga. Yes.
So where are you as far as the devotees situated?
Where are they? Well, they're, of course they're in Goloka Vrindavan. Where are they? They can be anywhere along there. Well, we're in different places in different times of the day. Sometimes Maya says, you know, sometimes we think, wow, this process is great. I'm going to be a devotee forever. I'm just floating in ecstasy. I'm Krishna's servant. Next moment, you know, we're walking down the card and we think, wow, that's not bad. It wouldn't be so bad to be an illusion. Then we're an illusion, false ego. And then, you know, we think, oh, I'm suffering so much, I'm so fearful, how to get out of this? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. We're back again. So usually that's why it says our minds are not very steady. We're in all different places at different times of the day. One moment we're in Goloka, the next moment we're in hell. Yes.
I didn't get really how Kutam has to do, what has to do with Pili Kutam.
Well, if it is a logical sequence, which it is, then Kutam is the inclination due to absorption. Everyone here is in the material world, their inclination, if you take Kutam as inclination, I don't know what the Sanskrit is, everyone here is to try to solve their problems and be happy. So whatever experience we had in the past due to our involvement in the cycle means our absorption in material consciousness. So Kutam really means absorption in material consciousness, which will, under different circumstances, manifest itself with different material desires, etc. in the future. Because anyone who identifies with the body, one of the first things we notice is that we're in anxiety and fear. Because that's what we're trying to do, is protect the body. Our instrument of happiness, this warm, comfortable body, is about to be annihilated. The viruses, the germs are attacking it, the hunger is attacking it, so many things, old age is attacking it, disease. So we're always fearful it's going to be annihilated. As soon as we're absorbed into our nature, we're fearful. Yes?
And that's how you describe intelligence.
Well, that's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Intelligence means to see things, in the Bhagavad Gita it says, intelligence means to see things in the proper perspective. The real intelligence is Krishna consciousness, to see that we're Krishna's servant, and everything else is an adulteration of that intelligence. Anything else? Yes?
To come back on the Guru's question, how do we get more steady?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And to differentiate between what's matter, if we're in ignorance, false ego, attachment, aversion, etc., then we should see that. This is where my mode of nature, just like which mode of nature is ignorance in? Yes, you guessed it. And we have so many things, not only ignorance, but fear is also an aversion. They're all categorized as ignorance. And then we have attachment and false ego, which usually manifest themselves in the modes of passion. So these are just products of the mode of passion and ignorance. As we come to goodness, then these things gradually disappear. Our process is to help us come to goodness. If we want to gain some intelligence, then stay clean, take a shower so many times a day. So these things help us get free from these things. Take prasadam with your right hand, as much as we need. Come to see the deities, chant Hare Krishna. All these things are helping us become free from it. The whole process.
And to come to the mindfulness, does it mean that we can kind of spiritualize the
those things? No, that's one verse also, that these things are spiritualized. We become attached to Krishna. We become fearful of forgetting Krishna. These things are all spiritualized. The only thing it says we can't spiritualize is envy, but here it probably even equates envy with anger. Even anger can be spiritualized by fighting against Krishna's enemies, or the enemies of the devotees, or fighting against that's what it says in the Nectar of Instruction. Arjuna became angry and he fought for Krishna. Hanuman became angry and fought for Lord Ramachandra. So these things can also be utilized. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.